power, and so is everything which you feel. The power operates in a very precise manner, which is generally called law. We choose to call it God. Others may speak of it as love, divine mind, divine intelligence, Jehovah, Lord, Father, first cause, as well as a whole host of other synonymous names. But it doesn't really matter what you call it. Because the important thing to bear in mind, and anyone of understanding will really admit the fact, is that it is the power that doeth the work. It's not you and I. It's something we work with. But it also works with us. In other words, everything comes from one source, and that source power always flows and works to and through you. And that is you. Stated differently, the image that you have formed can only come to you on the physical plane of your life. In other words, your results. In one way, and that is by law and through faith. Now, the second part of this particular chapter, Bob is going to work with to show just how faith moves this power into action. Keep these two things in mind as we go through it. There are only two words you need to remember as Bob walks you through this. One is order, and the other is movement. Order and movement. And when both of those are functioning together rather than working against one another, we have success, happiness, health, and wealth, which is your birthright. So let's bring on, to take us through the rest of this particular chapter, my good friend and your good friend, Bob Proctor.
Sylvia Vanderhook with our company, she's a vice president with our company, gave me a bumper sticker here a couple of weeks ago. And it said, "It's too bad ignorance isn't painful." And you know, that's so true. In covering this particular subject, you're hitting on probably one of the most important things that anyone can study. And yet, very few people study it in any depth with respect to application in the various areas of their life. John was quoting Wernher von Braun, the late Dr. von Braun. He said one time, now keep in mind this was a scientist. He is considered by many as the father of the space program. And he said, after years of studying the spectacular mysteries of the cosmos, he was led into a firm belief in the existence of God. And he pointed out that science and religion were not antagonistic. He said, on the contrary, they are sisters. Well, one studies the forces of nature outside of us, the other studies the force within us. John made reference to that. He was talking about the atheist. I heard a cute little story one time where the guy said he always felt sorry for the atheist. He said, when they die, they said they're all dressed up and they got nowhere to go. And now, I have seen in my own life, in a number of other people's lives, some spectacular things take place when a person grasps this idea. Yesterday, I pointed out that one of our great problems was that we thought we were physical beings. And of course, we're not. If we were just physical, then there would be a limit to what we could do. There's a limit to what that table can hold. You start piling weight on that table, and you're going to get to a point where the table's just going to crush under the weight. It's like the story of the camel and the straw. You put too much straw on the camel's back, and you get to a point, you just put one straw on too many, and that's the straw that breaks the camel's back. We are spiritual beings living in physical bodies. Now, you and I have an intellect, and through the proper use of the intellect, we can do wonderful things in our life. Now, we used a drawing yesterday and in the previous lesson, and I'd like to suggest that you come back and focus your attention on this drawing again. Now, remember we were talking about the mind. We have no difficulty getting an image of a person's body. We see our own every day. We see it reflecting back from the mirror. Every time we look at someone else, we see their body. Well, the problem we have is that we have no image for the mind. Well, of course, in the previous lesson, we gave you one.